The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "About the day and the hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept over all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken, one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on the day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. Where has the time gone? I come back from vacation, a two-week vacation, and we're already in Advent, the first week of the church year. Now, Advent is kind of like our New Year's in the church, where we make all kinds of, we're to make kind of resolutions for the coming year. So Advent is Latin, and its meaning is coming. Advent is a period in the Christian church of preparing, of a celebration for the birth of Jesus Christ as at Christmas. But it is so much more than that. Because the historical event of Jesus' birth has already happened. Did you know that? I know it's sometimes shocking because we put so much emphasis on the birth of Jesus. And that's good, but it's more. As Christians today, Advent is more about preparation for the second coming of Jesus. So I declare the word today as readiness, but not just any readiness, but spiritual readiness. We can get ready for lots of things, right? We are still in the weekend of Thanksgiving. I'm sure many of you had family and friends come descend on your house on Thursday. How many had some people come over? Yeah, luckily we have friends that feed us because that was very nice that we could go to somebody else's house. Because, you know, when Johnny and I were planning our vacation, it was like, you know, sometimes you think you're ready, but then your planning gets all messed up. Because we weren't thinking about when we were coming back. We came back the day before Thanksgiving. What were we thinking? The busiest travel day of the year, we had to get from Fort Lauderdale back to Tucson. You know, sometimes readiness can be elusive, isn't it? Today we're going to talk about spiritual readiness. In our gospel reading from Matthew, Jesus tells us to be awake and ready. He says, "Keep awake, therefore, you do not know when the day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at in an unexpected hour." You see, the first Christians were waiting for Jesus to come back. They thought he was going to come back right away, but he didn't come back right away. So too often, these 4 weeks before Christmas, our Advent season, is focused simply on the birth of Jesus and all the preparations that we do to celebrate Christmas. And that's all good. But as I said before, Advent is more than just preparing for Jesus' birth at Christmas. something that seems to get lost in the shuffle in this more commercialism, consumer-driven time of year, is the second coming. Advent leads us up to the celebration of Jesus' birth, but it has already happened 2,000 years ago, as I said before. For all the people that call themselves Christians, whether past, present, or future, Advent should be more about preparing and anticipating Jesus' coming back the second time. We proclaim it in our worship every week. We celebrate the death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming, we will say in our Eucharistic prayer. And sometimes we say, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. It is the coming again of Jesus that we should influence our spiritual readiness at this time of year. In our gospel reading from Matthew, Jesus is teaching and preparing his disciples for a time when he would no longer physically be with them. Jesus is just a few days away from his death on the cross, and it seems to be sharing a scene from the Left Behind series of books. You guys remember them. How many would admit that they read them? Okay, there's some honest people out there. Okay. Jesus says, two will be in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken, one will be left. I remember reading those Left Behind books when they came out many years ago, and I was fascinated with them. Not necessarily for the theology in them, okay, because they're, you know, made up. But, you know, there is some theology. It could happen that way, but we don't know. But they got me thinking, Jesus could come back at any time. Now, I think the books were more meant to scare people into getting their life ready for Jesus, but that's not Jesus' point this morning. Jesus' point is for us to be ready always for his coming, what I term spiritual readiness. We may use the season of Advent in the church to remind ourselves to prepare for Jesus, but really, we need to be ready 7x24, 365 days of the year. So how do we prepare for this spiritual readiness? Well, a good start is to living a life of purpose, not of fear or complaining. Living for God and following Jesus' teaching is a good place to start to do justice and mercy and love our neighbors. And as I said before, this spiritual readiness is not just an Advent thing. Jesus calls us to live this way 365 days a year. Now, as I was reflecting on this, as I've come back from a two-week cruise in the Caribbean, and I was thinking, you know, how did Johnny and I live into that? Well, it reminded us of Jesus' challenge to be awake and ready on our vacation in the last 2 weeks. The places we visited on our cruise, Jamaica and the Panama Canal and the selected cities in Central America, are some of the prettiest places, but they're also some of the poorest places for people to live. The people depend on tourism as their primary means of support in their lives, but their standard of living is nothing at all like it is in the United States. Maybe we should have felt guilty about being on vacation in these places, but instead we focused on Jesus' teachings. We dropped some money, yeah, in some of the places where we visited to help their economies. But more importantly, we got to know some of the people along the way, in the ports that we visited, the workers on the ship, that were also from some very poor countries. Our ship's cruise director, I have to tell you this story, because it was just kind of amazing and kind of blew me away. Those of you on Facebook already know a little bit about this. The cruise director found out, like on the second day of the cruise, that I was an Episcopal priest, okay? And she asked me to lead the interdenominational worship on Sundays. And she told me, first of all, I said, well, what time is this worship? And she said, six o'clock. I went, a.m.? No, I don't do 6 a.m. No, she said 6 p.m. on Sundays. I'm like, okay, I can do that. I don't even get up 6 a.m. for my congregation at home, let alone on vacation. So it was 6 p.m. on Sundays, and we had two Sundays. So I got to lead this interdenominational worship, and what was so amazing, when I got the program that they had printed out for us, it was evening prayer out of the Book of Common Prayer. I was like, yes, I know this. I know all these prayers. The second, the first week that people came, a couple of them came up to me and said, can we do communion next week? And I was like, well, that's above my pay grade, okay? You're going to have to ask the cruise director, because that's not something I can say I can do. So a couple of them went to the cruise director, and she came to me and said, we don't have wafers on the cruise. I'm like, I don't need wafers. All I need is some bread, a couple pieces of bread, and some red wine, which we had plenty of red wine on the cruise. So the funny story about what happened. Now, our cruise director was of Roman Catholic descent, so she understood about communion, bread and wine, and that you had to consume it. So Johnny and I came early to set up for this worship service and then have communion afterwards. I was going to do that after. And we came in, and there's this 6-foot table in the front, and it had two large pans overflowing of bread. I mean overflowing of bread. 6 bottles of wine, 3 white and 3 red, glasses and plates and napkins. I'm like, I'm not communing the whole ship. I mean, we had 900 plus passengers and 450 crew. Johnny and I would have been passing out communion bread all day long that day, all that evening. I said, and I was trying to explain to the workers, I said, I just need a couple pieces of bread and a cup that you can get your fingers into that has a little bit of wine in it. That's all I need. And so it took a while, but we kind of set that other bread to the side and it was like, I'm not blessing all that bread. Yeah, no, that wasn't happening. But it was tempting to be able to commune the whole ship, but I knew that wasn't really feasible. So the small group that we got to commune and to do the worship with was such a blessing, and they would come up to us all through the ship all the time, and we made some new friends out of it. Even on vacation, you can live into Jesus's teachings of justice and mercy and love. We got to know our cabin stewards from India very, very well, and we were, as you know, my husband is so shy and you know, introverted. He doesn't make friends with anybody. And so we were laughing and joking with them all week long, and it was so much fun. I think that's what made the trip, the people made the trip even more special. Advent is more than just getting decorations ready or buying and wrapping gifts or baking more than we could possibly eat. Advent is about preparing our hearts spiritually for Emmanuel, God with us. Advent is the beginning of the church year and is a good time to set our hearts for the coming year. It's a restart of our faith. If we don't spend some time on our own spiritual walk and life during this time, we can come out of the season of Advent and be very cynical and drained. Have you ever felt totally drained after Christmas? I know I have. And when I do, I know I spent too much time preparing for that perfect Christmas. I completely forgot what I was really preparing for. It is easy to do, and we get caught up in the decorations and the gift-giving and the receiving, and we don't take time for ourselves or for God. Out in the atrium, we have some daily devotionals for the Advent season for all age groups, from little ones to us more mature people. And I hope you will find one that speaks to you during the season to prepare and to be ready. A spirit of Advent is a spirit of anticipation, of hope in Jesus coming. If we do not take time to cultivate the spirit of Advent, we cannot give it away or pass it on. Without the spirit of Advent, we get so busy, we can miss seeing those in need all around us. I'm asking all of us to step back a little bit from the intensity of the Black Friday sales and the Cyber Mondays and the consumerism of Christmas and ready ourselves for Jesus' second coming. Capture the true spirit of Advent, the spirit of preparing, anticipation, hope, and readiness. Though preparing ourselves to being spiritually ready for whatever the world brings to us, Jesus says to watch and be ready. May it be so. Amen.